Well, it was a mixed week for American workers. Today's jobs report showed 263,000 jobs were added last month. Good news for workers, but it fuels concerns that the economy is overheating and may be headed toward recession. Meanwhile, rail workers were forced to accept a contract without sick days. President Biden signed it into law this morning.
And we haven't even finished the midterm elections yet, but we're already talking about the primary calendar for the 2024 presidential election. Let's start there with our Friday Politics Roundtable. Rick Klein is ABC News political director. Hi, Rick.
Thanks for having me.
And Scott Wong, senior congressional reporter for NBC News. Scott, happy Friday to you.
Same to you guys.
So, Rick, the Democratic National Committee meeting today and tomorrow to decide which states should vote first in the presidential primaries leading up to the 2024 election. President Biden wants party leaders to make South Carolina the state where the first votes are cast. New Hampshire, Iowa, not happy about that. Biden's plan says after South Carolina, New Hampshire, then Nevada, then Georgia, then Michigan would vote. Why are they doing this?
Well, the DNC knows that it needs to update its primary calendar. They've been talking about this for a long time. Concerns around diversity, concerns around the mess of the Iowa caucuses last time around have fueled this. And enter Joe Biden, who hasn't necessarily formally said he's even running for president. He wants to blow up the process by moving the state that saved his candidacy to first in the line in South Carolina and adding big, diverse battlegrounds like Georgia and Michigan at the expense of the Iowa caucuses, which would be jettisoned altogether, and at the expense of the exclusivity that New Hampshire has enjoyed before in the primaries. It's quite a bold move by the White House, by the president, to say directly, this is what I want it to look like. It sure looks like he's rewarding some friends in South Carolina and setting up a system where if he were to face a primary challenger, they'd have a very hard time getting any kind of traction in this kind of environment. So it's not clear the DNC is going to go along with this, but it is quite a big and unexpected move. Even a lot of members of the committee weren't expecting this level of specificity from the president.
So it is a bold move, Scott. Is it a done deal? And what's been the reaction?
Well, it's not a done deal, but the reaction on Capitol Hill has been pretty swift. Obviously, if you're somebody from New Hampshire and Iowa, you really don't like this proposal. If you're somebody from Georgia or South Carolina, this is great news. We caught up with Jim Clyburn, the Democrat from South Carolina, earlier earlier today. He's the majority whip of the Democrats, and he says, "Look, if you look at our state, we have military, we have business on the coast, we have agriculture, we have diversity of people. He called it a microcosm of the country right there in South Carolina. That is the case that South Carolinians are making." For moving them all the way up to the front. But Annie Custer, Democrat from New Hampshire, obviously she said she's very disappointed. She and the delegation from her state have been calling the White House, trying to get them to rethink this decision. And she says that they have to, in New Hampshire, there's a law on the books that essentially makes New Hampshire the first in the nation state in the primary. She says, if the DNC shifts them back, they are going to change their primary to move them ahead of South Carolina. So we could see this be litigated in the weeks and months to come.
Yeah, New Hampshire doesn't want to let this one go, that's for sure. Well, let's move on. This morning, President Biden signed into law a rail worker contract that he says prevents a catastrophic railway shutdown during the holiday shipping season, even though it doesn't give workers the paid sick leave that they've been pushing for.
I know this was a tough vote for members of both parties. It was a tough for me, but it was the right thing to do at the moment, to save jobs, to protect millions of working families from harm and disruption, and to keep supply chains stable around the holidays.
Scott, let me stick with you. I mean, the politics here, why did Democrats vote for a deal that some rail unions rejected?
Yeah, this was a really interesting situation. I think everyone on Capitol Hill recognized that the results of a national rail strike, especially right before the holidays, would have been catastrophic. What a lot of the progressives were really pushing for was something that had been left out of this deal negotiated by Biden and the White House. What was left out was paid sick leave of as much as 7 days. The current deal that the White House gave unions and and labor leaders and the rail companies was just one paid sick day. And many progressives said that simply wasn't enough. So you had, this was an interesting situation and issue where you had the likes of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren on the same side as some, you know, really conservative members of Congress like Josh Hawley and Marco Rubio, who were seeing this issue as a way to stand up for workers, but not necessarily support unions. So a very odd situation. In the end, Congress was able to get this to Biden's desk and avert this national rail strike.
Well, to that point, here's Republican Ted Cruz on Fox Business saying the federal government should not bigfoot or override what the workers want.
I don't think that, that Congress should step in and say it doesn't matter what you workers want. We've decided that that the answer is no. I think that's a real mistake.
Well, to Scott's point, Rick, you don't often see Ted Cruz fist bumping Bernie Sanders, at least in public, right? But that happened during during a vote to expand sick days for rail workers who say they've been forced to work for weeks straight during a pandemic labor shortage. Where do Republicans fall on this?
Yeah, that's a first. And I think some Republicans saw some political opportunism here to make the point that President Biden, the most pro-labor president in history, he likes to call himself, broke with the unions that rejected these deals. They saw a chance, to, as Scott said, to side with workers and union members as opposed to union leaders who had organized this and maybe poke their eyes at poke the president's eye a bit. To make this point, I don't think they wanted an actual strike. I think they saw this as kind of a free vote and maybe an opportunity to make a point. People like Senator Rubio have been talking for some time about Republicans becoming more of a working class lunch bucket type of party. Many union members do vote Republican. And here is a stark reminder. This is a bitter pill for unions, but it's a complicated one because, of course, the union leadership did negotiate this deal with at Biden's behest, at Biden's request. And it was some of their own members, not even all of the unions, but some of their members who rejected it and let us into this possibility of a possible national rail strike. So crisis averted, but the politics, I think, will still see some fallout.
Well, on to another big political story this week. House Democrats elected New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries as their leader. He will replace Nancy Pelosi and serve as minority leader in the next Congress. He becomes the first Black Party leader in either chamber of Congress.
We seek to find common ground whenever and wherever possible. And we hope that our colleagues on the other side of the aisle, as they temporarily inherit the majority in the next Congress, are willing to proceed with that same spirit.
Scott, I'm struck by the way he artfully phrased that our colleagues will temporarily inherit the majority in the next Congress. What kind of leader do you expect Jeffries to be?
Well, he is a tremendous speaker. You know, somebody just that has a way with words, as you could tell there. He is somebody who has needled Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans for years and years as one of the Democrats' top messengers. And so what you heard there was somebody who's, you know, yes, reaching across the aisle to the Republicans saying, you know, we are willing to work with you, but at the same time, we are also coming for your majority in just 2 years in 2024. And Democrats are right on the cusp of taking back that majority. They just only need to win back a handful of seats and they're right back there. And so Hakeem Jeffries knows that. And as in being in the minority, he's going to be very strategic in the Democrats' messaging in trying to undermine the Republicans and portray them as a party in chaos. Mm.
Okay, quickly before we go, a setback for former President Donald Trump this week in the investigation of classified documents seized at his Florida estate, Mar-a-Lago, after he left the White House. An appeals court yesterday struck down the special master that's been deciding if some of the records should be kept from Justice Department investigators. Rick Klein, what's likely to be the mood in Trump world right now? What does this mean for him?
Legal setback after legal setback, and there've been so many of them. And this issue, which is not a narrow one, it's a pretty significant one. I think it's widely expected that a special master would go away in accordance with other rulings, but it would seem to increase the potential pace. Now we know there's a special counsel that's been named by the Attorney General. There are so many multiple investigations going in so many directions of this active candidacy for president. There is a sense, they've been there before, where the walls start to close in. I think it's a familiar sense in Trump world, but this is clearly not good news for any efforts to try to keep this investigation at bay.
Scott, you get the last word in 10 seconds.
Yeah, for a presidential campaign rollout, this has certainly not been a smooth one for former President Trump, given some of these court decisions as well as the controversy that he is embroiled in after having dinner with the white nationalist Nick Fuentes. And so this has been a pretty disastrous couple weeks for the former president right after he announced his bid for returning to the White House.
Scott Wong, senior congressional reporter for NBC News. Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Always great to have you both on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.